Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio, and we are broadcasting today live from our studios in Charlotte, North Carolina. Glad that you are joining us for this episode. We have much to talk about, just like always. Nothing new, but we're glad that you are with us. I'm your host, Rick McCann, founder, CEO of Private Officer and Armor College. Today, we're going to be talking about life and the effects that life has on our family life, our social life, how it can quickly bring depression into your life. We'll be talking about relationship issues and unfortunately even alcoholism and drug addiction, all caused by the type of jobs and professions that we have. Today, we of course also have a lot of breaking news that we want to get to, as well as a laundry list of upcoming things that are happening here at Private Officer, as well as some announcements. Of course, we want to tell you more about the Security Officer Conference happening in Nashville, Tennessee, and how you can join it for free. It won't cost you a dime. That's right, not even a dime. That and so much more coming up in today's edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio Show. So, of course, you don't want to go anyplace because there's so much here that you need to know. I guess the big headlines this week, well, there's several, but as far as I'm concerned, the big headlines this week is the number of private security and law enforcement that have been killed so far in 2018. Right now, according to our statistics, there have been 91 law enforcement officers killed. 91. Of those 91 police officers, there's been about a 38% increase in firearm deaths. Again, not to compare private security with law enforcement, but so far in 2018, there have been 81 private security officer deaths and a huge increase number of those by gunfire. 91 law enforcement, 81 security officers. What does that tell you? No doubt that private security is becoming more and more involved in contacts contacting individuals, never knowing if they're a danger, never knowing ahead of time if they're going to pose a danger to our safety. As I and Private Officer International has been preaching for 15 years, more and more security officers across the country and around the world, for that matter, is getting more involved in law enforcement, quasi-law enforcement duties. And that's without even talking about those private officers that are private law enforcement and do have law enforcement authority. What these numbers tell me is that the danger of contacting anyone, approaching anyone, questioning anyone, investigating anyone, detaining anyone, arresting anyone, or even responding to or getting involved in any type of situation, whether that be a shop, whether that be a domestic, a trespasser on your property, someone who's looking suspicious sitting in a vehicle at the apartment complex. These numbers quickly identify the fact that the danger of making contact with anyone, regardless of their race, their age, their sex, it doesn't really matter anymore these days. The job of being a security officer, a private law enforcement officer, has become as dangerous as any law enforcement position in the U.S. or around the world, and that's a fact. That is a fact. There's no possible way for you to refute it, to argue about it, to deny it. No. The fact is, the numbers speak for themselves. And not only do the numbers of the deaths of security personnel speak for themselves, but the method in which these officers, these men and women, have died on duty. The fact that the majority is by gunfire should speak volumes to anyone. And yet, it doesn't always. There are still many non-believers. There are still many people who think, it's not that bad. Nah, you might get one or two now and then that get killed or shot. Yeah. But the fact is, it is that dangerous. And we have the statistics and the data to back it up. There's no reason for anyone at this point to deny it or think otherwise or try to sweep it under the rug. We're in the 2018 year, 2018, this isn't 2010, this isn't 2015, this isn't 1980, this right now, this year. Actually, the last couple of years, we've seen so much violence involving law enforcement and security. In this next segment, I'm going to be talking about something else that's happening that's alarming. And we need to be talking about this. You need to be sharing about this because this has not happened to this degree in a long time. But, again, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to say about it? Who are we going to talk about it? How are we going to try to change this? I would say for the security industry, for those who will listen, those who will have open and clear eyes, that this is extremely alarming. And we need to take some type of action to prevent these numbers of deaths. But let me give you one more shocker. As of today, more than 23,000 security officers have been injured or assaulted in the U.S., and that number will surely grow to over 40,000 by the end of the year. And we have had some years where we've seen it reach 65,000 assaults and injuries in 1 year. And while some companies acknowledge it, they don't see it as a crisis, they don't see it as an epidemic, they don't see any reason to jump on board and shout it from the rooftops and the mountaintops. They still think it's just something that happens. It's part of the job. It's not that bad. When we come back from this first break, we're going to talk to you and anybody who will listen, really, about something that has happened in the last 2 weeks that we have not seen to this degree ever. We're coming right back. Don't go away, because we want to talk about the mob effect. The mob effect. You are listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio. I'm your host, Rick McCann, Private Officer International. If you're not a member, be sure to join today at privateofficer.org. More than 45 member benefits that you can use every day, plus free connection to our legal, our management, our counselors, our chaplains. All of our resources are at your fingertips. All right, we got to take this break, as much as I hate to, but we are coming right back in just a moment. Don't go away, because you want to hear what else is happening this week in our industry.
From coast to coast, cops are cracking down on seatbelt violations. Buckle up day and night or expect a ticket. It doesn't matter who you are or where you live, they'll be on the lookout. Cops write tickets to save lives. Click it for ticket.
Federal Aviation Administration wants you to fly your drone responsibly. Avoid flying your drone near other aircraft, especially near airports. Fly your drone below 400 feet. Always keep your drone in sight. If you see a safety issue involving drones, contact local law enforcement immediately. Fly smart. Fly safe. Have fun.
All right, we are back. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio. I'm your host, Rick McCann, founder and CEO of Private Officer International, Armor College, a public safety and law enforcement organization and school. I said before the break that something has been happening in the last couple of weeks, about 2.5 or 3 weeks, that we have not seen to the magnitude that we have seen it recently, and it's disturbing, it's dangerous, it's something that is occurring with law enforcement, has been occurring with law enforcement for a number of years. But now, people are attacking security officers. And when I say people, I don't mean individuals. I mean packs, mobs, crowds are attacking security officers who are trying to detain shoplifters, trespassers, or other violators of the law, that they have a legal duty and right to detain, to confront, and yet now, as we have seen in hundreds and probably thousands of videos by now, where crowds turn on law enforcement when they're arresting somebody or they've been involved in a use of force, a shooting, now we are seeing that with private security incidents. Just last week in California, during a detention and arrest of someone involved in an assault and trespassing, a security officer by himself trying to detain the suspect was brutally attacked by at least 30 people in the apartment complex while he was trying to defend himself. Trying to detain the suspect in the crime, it started with a handful of individuals who began screaming at the security officer, filming it, and then a violent attack by at least 8 to 10 people, with another 20 people or so standing around yelling, screaming, filming, and becoming riotous. The security officer sustained multiple injuries, but as far as we know, there was nothing serious, thank goodness. And he was able to get out of there, to get law enforcement. Several people were arrested for very minor assault charges. No felonies, not one charge of being involved in a mob or a riot. It was a horrible sight. And unfortunately, it wasn't the only attack that happened in the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Another attack in St. Louis, Missouri. Some believe and say, including law enforcement, that this individual brought it on to themselves, and it's really hard to say if they did or not. But from the news reports and a statement from St. Louis police, a person that had been previously trespassed was in a convenience store and I believe involved in a shoplifting incident. I think it was like $10 worth of merchandise. Two employees of the store, and I mention this next part only to set the tone of why some of these things happen. They were not from this country. They were immigrants. I don't know the status, if they were legal, illegal, I don't know. But from their country, it was proper to whip, another word for beat, someone caught shoplifting, and so they did hit this woman numerous times. And the crowd, several people in the store and hanging around outside the store, it was a neighborhood store where a lot of people were, you know, frequented and were outside, became very upset. Now, the store had a security guard. And instead of locking the door, calling 911, the security guard got involved and he pepper sprayed a whole bunch of people who were just yelling. And all of this is on video. both the store surveillance and camera cell phone video, he began pepper spraying a bunch of people that weren't involved other than just yelling, had not committed any assault, any crime. And that escalated. The whole thing blew way out of proportion. And before you know it, you got people coming out of the woodwork, the whole parking lot full of people banging on the doors and windows, screaming, out of control. Law enforcement had to be called in. They had to de-escalate. And this time around, instead of arresting the protesters, they actually arrested the security officer and the two store employees who began the incident by assaulting and beating the female alleged shoplifter. And again, I don't know what was taken. I hear and I read that she took about $10 worth of merchandise. Authorities had to disperse and de-escalate that crowd. They could have beaten the security officer and the store employee senseless, and they did try to break in. The security officer was arrested because police say he escalated it and used pepper spray on people who had not committed the crime. He was not immediately in imminent danger because he was behind a locked door, and he unlocked it and went out and pepper sprayed the group that was there, told them to disperse. This could have been a lot worse had police not arrived so quickly and in force. What if they were all tied up? What if they were busy? What if they had other crimes and riots and they just couldn't get there right away? We've seen this play out when security has called for help before. Thankfully, no one was seriously injured. Nobody killed. But police arrested the security officer and the store employees for assault. Things like this can really put you in harm's way, danger, and be, it could end your life. Let's just be honest. If someone in that crowd had a gun and wanted to shoot the security officer and the store employees, they would be dead right now. We're starting to see the same type of response by citizens when security detain, arrest, or otherwise try to control the public, and others in the area put the word out. You instantly get people crawling out of the woodwork. Everybody wants to be involved, even though nobody knows what the heck is going on, who did what started what. They don't care about that. They just want to be involved. They just want to be engaged in the riot, in the conflict. They don't want to be part of the solution. They want to be part of the problem. And so they come down not only to look and see, but to get hands on. And yes, let's be honest, some of this is racially motivated both ways. Whites, blacks, blacks, whites. It's not getting better. These things that are happening are not just limited to the U.S. Last week in British Columbia, a similar event happened where security at a large mall that also had some other businesses in the perimeter of the mall exterior, including some type of recycling processing type company. Security was called because a person who had been previously trespassed from the property was on the property and stealing some recyclables. I don't know. I believe they were bottles, cans. When security arrived, they recognized that the man was previously trespassed, and he wasn't supposed to be on the property at all. They tried to take him into custody. A large crowd, of course, gathered, began yelling at security, began filming. Of course, several people called police, including the mall and the security staff. They, the citizens, began to yell how the person was being treated. It was just a couple of dollars worth of recyclable material, and let him go. And so what if he stole? So what if he was trespassing? The security officers were trying to get his hands behind his back to handcuff him, and they had every legal right to detain him, even to arrest him, and that's what they were doing. But as this went on longer and longer, a larger and larger crowds began to develop, began to push in on the mall security officers. And you can imagine, if you've ever been involved in any type of arrest of a suspect, apprehension, chase, everybody wants to get involved. Everybody knows the law. Everybody's an attorney. Everybody's a judge. Everybody knows everything. And, of course, we know that's not true. 9 times out of 10, none of these people would have lent a hand. None of these people were educated in the law. None of them were law enforcement, retired judges. No, of course not. They just wanted to be heard. They just wanted to get involved. They just wanted to make it tougher on the security officers. And when you have crowds pushing in on you, filming, yelling, chanting, and being disruptive, almost to a riotous stage as they were in St. Louis, that's a dangerous, dangerous spot for the private officer. Even if it's a law enforcement officer, if they don't have enough backup, it's a dangerous, dangerous spot. The focus is to detain, arrest, subdue, and to stop the threat. And then you've got to be looking over your shoulder during all of that to make sure somebody else isn't going to assault you, stab you, shoot you, take your weapon. It's chaotic, it's dangerous, and it's no longer just happening to law enforcement. 3 incidents in less than 3 weeks. Now, we've seen this every once in a while, especially at a shopping mall where they're trying to detain a shoplifter, and if it's whites and blacks or blacks and whites, Hispanic, everybody wants to call it racist. Everybody wants to be heard. Everybody wants to get involved, but that involvement could be very dangerous to the officer. So now we have something else to be concerned and worried about besides the threat that the suspect poses. Now we have to worry about who might be helping them, who might step in to aid him, to help him escape, to assault you, or worse. We can talk about situational awareness all day long, but this is a whole lot more than situational awareness. This is, you have to be, have your head on a swivel 100% all the time, especially when you're trying to apprehend, detain, arrest someone. This is getting out of hand, and this is getting dangerous for security. It's time that we stop staffing one person, one unarmed security officer. Start equipping people. Start giving them communication equipment where they can call for backup, even if it's just a panic alarm, as we've talked about on this program numerous times. We need the right people in the right job with the right equipment if we're going to get involved, if we're going to be chasing down suspects, apprehending people, even confronting people that might be trespassing, shoplifting, or acting out, acting disorderly. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some upcoming events and share the week's news with you. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio.
They say if you want a wish to come true, never tell anyone. But there is one wish that can make the difference between life and death. And this wish can only come true if you tell someone. Please let your family know you want to be an organ donor.
Doing drugs is like being on top of the world. Everyone says so. Everyone seems to be having one dandy old time. Hey, it's part of growing up. Or is it? Just think about this. Before you go and do something you've never done before, you just better know what you're jumping into.
Thank our sponsors, Barton Investigations. We'll track them down. We'll solve the case. Barton Investigations online. Check them out today for all of your private investigation needs. Body Armor USA, one of our pals, POI member, lifetime, and a friend. If you need body armor or protective gear, check them out online at Body Armor USA. We've got what it takes to protect you. And, of course, we want to thank our newest sponsor here this week, Robinson Heating and Air. Check them out in Nashville and Memphis, Chattanooga, and in Kentucky. They're located in the places that you need special people like them to help you with all of your heating and air conditioning needs. This week in the news, we got a lot of things to tell you. In New Orleans, a security guard is suing the Causeway Police Department for false arrest. They say that he was stopped by police officers and suspected of being DUI. He said he has a speech impediment. He tried to tell the officers that, but they embarrassed and caused him anguish, took him into custody. He was later released after tests proved he was not under the influence. In Maple Ridge, B.C., the Haney Place Mall has become one of the latest malls to install blue lights in their bathroom to help combat drug-related problems. It seems that it's harder to see your veins when you have blue lights in the bathroom, and therefore many people that would maybe hang out, loiter to shoot up, they don't like it so much. We've seen that in many convenience stores and also fast food chains that are now using blue lights in the bathroom to deter people shooting up in heroin. In Long Island, New York, James Jimmy Henderson, a longtime East Monarch Fire Department member and a security officer for 14 years with the Central School District, passed away from cancer. According to his family, he was 78, a dedicated EMT firefighter on the squad, and he was working at the school as a security officer for the past 14 years. In Alabama, a new report released this past week says one in four Alabama public schools still do not have a security or law enforcement assigned to the school. Schools, K through 12, are without school resources, officers, or security, leaving thousands of students unprotected. In Detroit, Michigan, this week, a security officer on patrol at the Motor City Casino spotted a child all alone. He went to investigate it, and he found that the mother had left the three-year-old by himself while she was inside the casino for a substantial amount of time. Police were called, and the mother has been arrested. In the Baltimore area at the White Marsh Mall, a fight broke out Saturday when mall security attempted to get some of the underage kids that were hanging out at the mall out of the mall. A large disturbance broke out. Baltimore County Police responded. 9 people, including 2 adults and 7 juveniles, were arrested. Several were arrested for assault on police. In Peoria, Illinois, authorities there say a man at the local Kroger store did not like the way the security officer was dressed, began to verbally assault the security officer, and eventually did physically assault the security officer. The man was arrested. Now, what ticked him off about the dress of the security officer, we're really not sure. In Las Vegas, Nevada, a security officer pursued a suspect on his bicycle and was involved over the weekend in a shootout. Julian Castro, 20, had been gambling inside the casino. He was asked to leave the property because there was a trespass against him. He got into a shootout with the security officer, who was wounded. Security officer James Basson suffered gunshot wounds to the shoulder and arm, but still chased down the suspect and managed to handcuff him, and police took him into custody. In Myrtle Beach, security there was assaulted after a man was told that he could not enter the beach club. Officers say 23-year-old Brandon Outs was charged with third-degree battery and released on bond. Police in Culpeper, Virginia, report that they stopped a possible attack on one of their local schools. A 13-year-old boy confessed to plans to kill or do bodily harm on the first day of school. Police got a search warrant. They found a pellet rifle, a bow and arrow, some knives in his room, and they did take him into custody and charged him in the juvenile and domestic court system. Police are reporting that in Halifax, Canada, several men attacked and stabbed a local security officer at a nightclub there. The men caused great bodily injury. They did escape, and they are on the lookout. In Indianapolis, business owners have decided to hire their own private security team after months of crime, assaults, and violence in the area. The neighborhood has gotten together and hired a security team to physically patrol that area. The University of Massachusetts police are very upset right now because several new properties that have been taken over by the university will not be patrolled by UMass police, but instead private security will be used to patrol them. According to the University of Massachusetts, these are smaller campuses and don't warrant law enforcement at this time. UMass Union say that they're going to protest this move. In Atlantic City, at another casino, another mother has been arrested. Actually, it was a babysitter that was arrested after 2 children were found wandering around in the parking garage of the casino. Police charged 23-year-old Sean Saunders after they returned to the garage. Police also found marijuana and other drug paraphernalia and arrested them. In Westminster, Colorado, this past week, police were called to a shoplifting where an LP agent was threatened with a knife. Police chased down the suspects at the 120th Avenue and Sheridan Boulevard and fatally wounded that suspect after he failed to drop his knife. Miami police report that they have stopped a rolling bomb that contained more than 180 gallons of gas that they had siphoned out and stolen from several gas stations. They also recovered numerous stolen credit cards and other information that show that this was a gang. Police in Cleveland, Ohio are investigating after a number of Cleveland police recruits were caught cheating during an exam. Police say that the recruits are currently suspended from the academy and are under investigation. Police in Raleigh have charged a man at the Pullen Memorial Baptist Church after he walked into the church with nothing on but a t-shirt. He's been charged with public indecency and posted a bond. Recently, just in the last 6 or 7 days in Michigan, the Supreme Court of Michigan has ruled that the schools, public and private, have a right to control weapons on their property. They can have gun-free zones if it's up to them. The Michigan Supreme Court ruled against the Ann Arbor Public School and the Michigan Open Carry in a previous lawsuit. They say that the schools can make their own gun laws. There is a lot of breaking news 24/7. Be sure to check out our news blog. It's published every day faithfully, 365 days a year. And sign up today for news alerts at privateofficer.org. And, of course, if you're not a member, we want to make sure that you become one today. Enjoy those 45-plus member benefits. Privateofficer.org is the place to sign up for that. We're coming right back. We're talking today about personal issues because of the professions that we're in and how we can avoid the downfalls.
Children, America isn't the land of promise. It's a place where every day is a struggle. Because today in America, 1 in 6 children lives below the poverty line. For these children, living in poverty means going without medicine, going without food, going without a warm home, or even a roof over your head. And that's life for nearly 13 million children of all races, all across America. Where will you draw the line and get involved? You can help these children and their families find a way out of poverty for good. And you can make a difference in more ways than you think. Will you help? Go to povertyusa.org today. Because 1 in 6 children in poverty is one too many.
27, I've got both of them in the system here.
33, just... 1-34, be advised. 33, please come in with the suspect and the victim.
A lot of people believe, mistakenly of course, that those working in security positions, guards as they call them, are just working normal shift. Usually 8 hours, so maybe it might be 10 or 12, and occasionally maybe even 16, but they wrongly believe, for the most part, that security officers work regular hours, they have a normal schedule, they have normal days off, like somebody working at the bank or the school or a factory job, a manufacturing plant. Many people believe that security officers punch in and punch out, do their thing, and go home, and that's it, until the following day. How wrong could they be? As anyone who's worked in this industry even for 1 month can tell you, these people haven't a clue. They are so far off base that they never could understand what security and public safety and first responders, what those type of employees actually go through on a regular basis when we're talking about their shift, their work hours. You see, society, for the most part, is set up to be a regular schedule of hours for employees in most industries, most companies, most businesses, 8 to 5, 9 to 5, 6 to 2, 3 to 11, 11 to 7. You know, those are normal set hours you have every weekend off or every Sunday and Monday. Now, some security officers do have the luxury, especially those working in the proprietary positions at hospitals and colleges, schools, and some other businesses. They do have regular hours. They come in 7 to 3:30, 7 to 4. Sometimes they have every weekend off. They have a regular schedule like a normal person, a normal schedule for a normal person. But the fact is that most people working in this business or any public safety, law enforcement, first responder type position understands that's not the reality for most people. In fact, it's just the opposite. Most people understand in this industry that it's shift work that can vary from day to day. If you work for a contract security agency and you're a security officer, you're the low man on the pole, totem pole, you may have a different shift every few days, every day. You may have a different assignment two or three times a week because your schedule may depend on where they need people. And there are some security companies who have flex assignments. Today you're working 7 to 3 at XYZ company. And tomorrow you're working 11 to 7 at ABC warehouse. And then the next day you're going to be off. And you didn't even know it because they didn't tell you that until the few hours before or the day before. And then later that week you're someplace different. And you have no regular sleeping hours. You have no regular time to spend with your family, your children. You have no regular time to take care of your own personal business, to have your own personal life. God forbid that that could become a reality, a normality for you or anyone else working in this business. Because, like I said, it's not the norm. Even when you have a permanent assignment, how many times have you gotten the call from the office? Oh, George, can you please go in and fill an extra shift tonight? When you leave XYZ company, can you please go over and work that overnight shift? I'll have that guy hold over and you can relieve him. Well, ma'am, I just worked 10 hours and I got to get, some sleep and I got some personal. Please, I promise I won't ask you the rest of the month. Yeah, until the next time they need you. And then, of course, you're going to get the call. And the more reliable, dependable you are, the more in need of money you are, guess what? You're at the top of the list for that call as an owner of a security company, as somebody who's worked for regional and national security companies in management. I can tell you that's just how life goes. But you're not the only soul having to go through this type of life. Because those working as EMTs and paramedics and firefighters, they often work 12, 16, 24-hour shifts. They're supposed to be one day on, 2 days off. Guess what? Especially right now with so many agencies being short-staffed, there's people pulling all kinds of crazy hours. Again, some do it for the love of money and actually once taxes are taken out, with all the extra money that you're making, yeah, you might take home an extra 25 or 50 bucks, but the government got most of it. That's the reality. Some people do it because they think it's the way to promotion. Hey, if I take all these overtime shifts, if I do everything that they ask me to do, if I'm always available, if I'm Johnny on the spot, if my phone never goes off, and if I'm always a yes man, I'm going to be promoted. No doubt about it. I'm going to get that next promotion. And then the next promotion comes, and how soon have they forgotten who they were depending on? Somebody else gets the promotion, somebody else gets the raise, and you get a slap on the back, thank you. Sometimes, sometimes not. Even those working in professional, full-time careers in law enforcement, public safety, they're a shift worker. Many police and fire agencies rotate their shift. You might be on day shift this month and third shift next month. Your days off might be Thursday and Friday this month. Next month it might be Tuesday and Wednesday. And even some split the 2 days up. Tuesday and Friday are your days off. Especially if you're the low man on the totem pole, if you're a newly hired employee, if you're a recruit, if you, you know, are the guy who has no seniority, then yeah, you're taken advantage of in that way. There's no two ways about it. There's no way that people can say, oh, no, we treat everyone the same. That's not true. We know that. What does this do? What does this type of schedule? What does the fact that we're not being paid reasonable wages to begin with, what does all of this do? How does it affect our family life? Those of us who are married, those of us with small children, oh, I mean, this schedule might be okay for some old timer, he's all alone, or maybe a young 19, 20 year old, no real life, out of school, just working for a paycheck, maybe wants a new car, get his own apartment. Yeah, it's okay for them. But if you're 30-something, even 40-something, 20-something, married, or, you know, you have a good extended social life, many of friends, many things that you like to do, then this type of work is hard on your body, on your life, on your social life, on your friends, your family, your kids. It's even hard on your health. I worked the midnight shift and the split shift between second and third for dozens of years, many years. I actually enjoy the third shift. I love being on the night shift when it's quiet and I can see what's happening and I can respond to those real hot calls, those emergencies, without too much traffic, without too many supervisors looking over your back, over your shoulder. Yeah, it wasn't bad at all. But when you have kids, responsibilities, when you want to be a true dad, a coach, when you want to be a mentor, when you want to have a social life, when you want to make your kid's birthday, when you want to be there with the family for Thanksgiving, Christmas, and all of those other very important dates that you'll never get back, working in this industry or, you know, many public safety industries, just doesn't work. I had a friend for many years who worked with the Nashville Metropolitan Police Department Homicide Unit. Every time he was on call, there'd be a homicide. He'd get called out. Middle of the night, the middle of graduation, the middle of shopping. I don't know how many times he would leave in the middle of a special event to respond to a murder. I've been there. Completely no. I remember the good old days when I was in law enforcement and was a volunteer firefighter, and we had the pagers back then, and those things would go off at the most inopportune times, those beepers, beep, 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 beep. Engine 29, Ladder 1, Rescue 15, Command 7, automobile accident, multiple injuries, entrapment, one overturn. Yeah, I remember those dates. It was what I signed up for, though. It was what I was expecting. It was what I wanted. And it had the downsides when it came to family and kids and other things I had going. But if you've been there, you know what it's like. As a security officer, especially somebody who has a flexible schedule or days that change, it's important that we take care of ourselves. First of all, we need to sleep when it's time to sleep. When we have a day off, we need to rest and not do 100 other things. I don't know how many times when I was working third shift that I would do a lot of my running around chores during the day and then catch a cat nap before I went in the third shift. That's not good. I can remember many times when I would come home exhausted, so exhausted that I slept sitting up in the recliner or on the couch, only to have my phone ring off the hook. And of course, I got back up and I was back at work doing the things that, you know, you get paid for. If you have a family, that's not good. You have to have certain scheduled times to sleep. No matter what your schedule is, you've got to be able to sleep regularly every day, whether that's between 2 p.m. and 6 p.m. or 8 a.m. until 2 p.m., whatever it might be. And the days that you're off, you've got to be able to set your circadian rhythm where you're doing the same thing. You don't want to change for one moment. I know that's hard to do, especially if you have a family. They, you know, a wife, a husband, they want you in bed with them. But you have to get that rest. You have to eat somewhat well. You can't chow down a bunch of crap. You can't, you know, stuff yourself with snacks every day, 7 days a week, 24/7, and think that your body is going to respond and work the way that it should, because it's just like a motor vehicle. We know if you put garbage in, you're going to get garbage out. We also need to exercise, of course. Easier to say than to do. I understand that fully. But we need to really find a time when we can sleep regularly every day, eat regularly every day, try to work out somewhere along the way, whether that be just some push-ups, maybe run a couple of miles, whatever it might be. We need to do that as well. And, of course, we need to have a social life. On the days off, don't drink. Don't have a hangover. Don't puke your guts out because, oh, this is my day off, Friday night. I never get a Friday night off. I'm going to paint the town. I'm going to puke up all over every street. No, that's not the way to live. That's going to harm your body, and that has a long-term effect on how you can respond, how you can physically respond in emergencies, and how you can defend yourself, and whether or not you'll even be able to defend yourself. Take care of yourself. If you can't have a regular schedule at work, you got to have a regular schedule of some type at home. In closing, I do have to mention that working these type of hours and these type of jobs, whether you're a police officer, a firefighter, security officer, even a manufacturing person who has different hours every month, this plays on your psyche. Many people just are not used to working when it's dark, unless, of course, you live in Alaska someplace. Many people, their bodies don't adjust well, and they get depressed, they get sad, they get lonely. All sorts of physical and psychological damage can be done if you don't get tuned in to what's happening. If your body is talking to you and you're not listening, it can even cause suicide. Many first responders and law enforcement officers who commit suicide do so because of everything that we're talking about today. They all become catalysts of depression, being sad, hopeless, alone, and before you know it, they're better off without me. All that I am is a paycheck, and I hate doing what I'm doing. I might as well just go ahead and end it. And that, along with other issues that they're already having, can really be the catalyst to someone ending their life. Of course, you've all also heard that these type of hours and this type of work can also lead to alcoholism, drug addiction, and all that's true. How many of you know cops and firefighters and other people that work in this profession, even security, who drink every moment they get, even when they're awake in the morning? It's like, oh, yeah, I got to have a couple of beers, or I've got to, you know, smoke some cigarettes, and I've got to have a joint. It's a fact of life. Be cautious. Listen to your body. Look at the indicators. Don't be one of those people who become a victim of their circumstance, of their job. There's got to be a happy medium. There's got to be a balance. We all need a paycheck. We all need to bring home the money, bring home the bacon. We all got to pay our bills. We all got to be working people, unless we're millionaires and got a rich family. Most of us don't. Be careful. This year there's been 6 or 7 known suicides of security officers. Most years we track about 15, 12 to 15. We don't want you to be one of those numbers. Be alert. Be sure that you listen to your psyche, to your body, and that you understand the warning signs of being depressed or sad or in a situation where you need to speak to someone. Now, if you're a member of POI, we have counselors. We have chaplains. If you're not a member and you need someone to speak to, we'll have someone speak with you as well. We have resources that we can refer you to. Be safe in everything that you do and be smart. That's going to conclude this episode of the Private Officer Beat. As we always say, be blessed, be safe, and we'll see you back here on the radio.